You know what time it is. It's time for the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. And today we are joined by the homie Bob Ventimiglia. And I think I butchered that.
Close enough, Bob Ventimiglia.
One more time.
Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia of I-80 Sports. And if I did my homework correct, this is your baby.
Yeah, absolutely. We started a few years ago, started as a draft special where we would kind of pick names out of a hat for our fantasy football league. Me and my buddy Mark had a lot of fun doing it. So we decided to turn it into a podcast. Kind of grew naturally from there. Our first name was Garbage Time Football. That was taken. So we had a change. When we got into the Twitter space, we kind of felt like, you know, the name I-80 fits. It's the only highway in America that goes from coast to coast. You can get on the East Coast, drive all the way to the West Coast. So we're national American sports. You know, the lowercase I stands for, you know, the internet age. You can find all of our stuff on the internet, on YouTube, and on your famous favorite podcast platform. So just kind of grew organically from there. We added to Major League Soccer, which is kind of my other specialty there. I write articles every week, our sports book picks, and met a lot of really great people who said, hey, I want to be part of this too. So we added NHL, we added NBA, and we're a full sports network now.
That is awesome. I love that. You guys are the people I live to interact with on pods and on Twitter. Because it's passion. It's a passion project. It's why I love certain players, because it's, this guy looks like he would play sports if he wasn't good enough to play at a professional level. And those are the people I gravitate towards. I'll never hit an NBA three-pointer or catch an NFL touchdown, but I love sports. So this is my way to stay connected. So other people who have that mindset, I'm drawn to.
Absolutely. I love it. And you would be 100% wrong. I was very unathletic as a child. I'm actually a music teacher because I turned to music when, although I love sports, wasn't very good at it.
All right. How long have you been playing fantasy?
So I started playing fantasy baseball in like middle school. You know, my parents' first computer, one of those, you know, compact Presarios, you know, that we all had. So I started with baseball. I don't really love baseball though. It's all about football. So I guess sometime in middle school, maybe sixth or seventh grade, and I've been doing it for probably 15 years. It's really great to get on at the very beginning when it was only Yahoo and we were, you know, setting our weird lineups. They used to not update the points as you were watching. You used to have to wait till the next day to find out who scored. So I'm that old.
All right. Where can people find your rankings?
My rankings are on i80sports.com in the articles section. You can go right to i80sports.com and you can find my rankings. I just updated them and uploaded them yesterday. So they're fresh. It's a fresh batch right here.
All right. I'm an inside baseball kind of guy. Like, I like to get into the nitty gritty of everything.
Sure.
Give us just a short synopsis of how you come about your rankings. Like, what are you eye test, algorithm, a mixture of both? Can you just walk us through your process?
Sure. So I have a spreadsheet. I did not make it. I took it from someone else in the fantasy industry. Tyler from Pro Football Focus, I believe. And in this spreadsheet, there is a tab for each team and pretty much all the work is done for you. You need to update your depth chart. You plug the names in and then you give specific stats for each player in the league. For example, you break down target share amongst wide receivers and you put team total projected passes and all the work is done there for you. So I look at the players, I evaluate their situation and I find out, is their situation better or worse than last year? Are they going to be more efficient? Are they going to get more targets, more yardage per reception, all that kind of stuff? I enter that info in and it spits out a number. So I don't guess how many yards. I guess the number of targets, guess the completion percentage, and I guess the yards per reception. And it shoots me out a little number, gives me the yardage. I enter total touchdowns for every team in the league. And then the I also have another sheet where it imports all my quarterbacks and the points they're projected to score under my projections. And then I sort that by, you know, highest to least, and it gives me the players in order of my rankings. And I do average that with average draft position to find out where I can find value. It's not only about my projections, because if running back 55 is going to be running back one, I don't get the most value drafting him first overall. I get the most value drafting him in the fourth round. So I like to kind of average my own rankings with ADP, and I find a nice sweet spot in the middle there.
All right. For those that don't know, ADP is average draft position. And that little analogy of, hey, is the 55th running back, if he's going to be number one, I get the most value out of drafting him in the fourth round instead of the first round, was masterful. Like, I'll geek out. So, like, the listeners know I'm a nerd with an obsessive personality. So, like, mm-hmm. they're used to this. I hope I'm not scaring you away. But, like, that's what I live for. Hey, yes, I know he's going to be number one, or that's what I believe. But I also believe that I can get him with the fourth pick, and that increases. That means I can get some. I can get two round one players, essentially, exactly, if I do this exactly. right. Or a round one player in the fourth round. That makes all the difference. So that I love the way you answered that question.
Thank you.
Did adding an extra game change the way you are going to draft players or rank players?
Yes, it does. It actually means that I take injury less into account, because I assume every player is going to be injured during the season. Whereas before, when there was one less game, I kind of felt like I could pick out players who were going to play all 16. Now I just assume every running back is going to miss two games.
Okay.
So as far as my stat ranking, I do not take that into account. I don't project injuries, but it actually makes me feel a little better knowing that more players are going to miss time throughout the course of the season. It is a longer season, and even just one more game adds a little bit extra there. So the answer is yes and no. It doesn't affect the way I do my rankings or projections, but it actually gives me a little more peace of mind knowing, hey, I'm going to draft a player like Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook is a hard physical runner. He's always going to miss 2 to 3 games a season. Dalvin Cook, I'm not fading or moving down because of that, because I assume every other running back in that range is also going to miss some time.
That's a great answer. All right, a couple, a little bit more silly ones before we get into the nitty gritty. How many leagues do you play in?
So I'm a less is more kind of guy. I love drafting, but that's what mocks are for. I'm not going to be in startups every single week like a lot of people in this space. I have 4 leagues that I take very seriously. That's my home league, 1 Devi league that IED Sports is trying out. I'm trying to dabble our way into that. I'm not an expert by any means, but it's a way to become an expert. For those of you who might not know, Devi leagues are leagues where you draft college players, hold them on a taxi squad, and when they get promoted to the pros, they become automatic picks for you during that year's expansion draft. So it's kind of a way to incorporate college into dynasty fantasy football. I'm also in 2 home leagues, and then I leave about 4 charity leagues. I always keep it under 10. But there are 4 charity leagues a year that I give myself self room for in my 4 serious leagues. That's enough for me. That's really enough of the fix. If I want to draft, I'll play some best ball leagues, which is you draft and you're not allowed to pick up or drop any players. You just draft a very large roster. You leave it there and it automatically puts the best players in your starting lineup each week for you. You don't touch it. You don't set it. You just draft and forget it. There's so many ways to do that nowadays. For me, max is 4 to pay special attention to, 8 for, you know, your charity leagues, your Scott Fishbowl, all your stuff like that.
All right. So you mentioned mocks, and that was another question I had. How many mocks do you do?
It depends. It really depends on the year. This year, I haven't mocked very much at all, because I feel very confident in my rankings. And I feel like a lot of the question marks from the past few years have been cleared up a little bit. Mocks are very important if you're in a big league and you want to know what you're doing in that spot. So, like, I'm confident in my skills drafting overall. I'm not confident in my skills drafting from the 3-hole. So I'll do a mock specific to a league that I'm in with the specific league settings. And I'll try it just to focus on what you can get in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th round in the 3 spot. in the 7 spot.
Okay. You mentioned that you have 4 very serious leagues and then 4 charity leagues. Do you co-manage in any of your leagues, or have you co-managed before?
No. There's no one who thinks like me, and we just wouldn't get along too well. I am the primary manager in everyone.
Okay. So this is going to be my first year trying to co-manage, and it'll be my girlfriend and I in a 2 quarterback league, and she's very headstrong. She's a big 49ers fan. So it could get interesting. I look forward to telling the stories on the pod. Do you have any horror stories?
Yeah. So managing, and I'm a commissioner in most of my serious leagues, adults can act like children sometimes. And that's kind of the problems I've run into, just with people kind of fudging rules or kind of moving stuff around. For example, I'm in a keeper league. So each year you can select 2 keepers and you keep them in the round you drafted them in the previous year. So if you draft a really good player in the 10th or 12th round, you get to keep them at a discounted price. Okay. Pretty easy scenario. Now, last year we had a special scenario. We opened up some IR spots for COVID players, right? There were a lot of stuff there. And we had the rule where you couldn't draft an injured player and keep them on your IR for the next year. Well, Cam Akers was injured. He was on the IR. He was drafted and he came back the very last game of the season. Now, should that count as a 12th round sleeper? Should that count as a 3rd round keeper, which would be his ADP? A lot of big issues around that this year. Just, when you make a vague rule, you get problems. So if you're making rules and a really good commissioner knows how to make it so that there is nothing debatable. And I failed that in one scenario last year, and we had some words amongst men about where Cam Akers should be kept this year for sure.
All right. Best prizes you've seen, heard about?
Cash money.
Cash money?
Cash is king.
What about punishments? Do you do punishments, and do you have a favorite that you've heard of or been a part of?
My favorite is me walking away with your money in my pocket. That is punishment enough for me. We've, of course, everyone's heard of some interesting league settings. One of the ones that the guys on Sirius Satellite Radio talk about quite often, which I would love to get into, is called a stake league. And it's not STAKE, it's STEAK, where you would go to a steakhouse for your draft every year. And everyone must go to the steakhouse and you get steak, you get food, you get beverages of whatever type. And the top 3 each year, in addition to the cash money, they eat for free. And then everyone in the middle pays 1 share of the meal. And then the bottom 3 pay 2 shares of the meal. And nothing is off limits. You can get anything as long as you eat it and consume it there. You're not able to bring food home. So if you win the league, you're ordering a steak, maybe a little lobster on the side. Yeah. You're getting some drinks. I would always like to try that because, you could really take your homies to the bank on that. I know some guys can eat and, I always thought that was an interesting scenario, but for me, cash is king. Let's get that money.
All right. Last, two more silly ones. Favorite team names.
Okay. So right now, because I'm trying to push my brand, I use I-80 Sports Bob for almost all of my team names. Mm-hmm. I do like silly names in my home league where they kind of know who I am. Obviously we've been playing together for 15 years. I'm King Without a Brown. I drafted Antonio Brown on the year where he decided not to play football. So I think as long as you're being unique, not kind of copying, kind of going a little away, I love puns. But my rule is if the team has a losing season, you got to cut bait and change the team name.
All right. And this is actually like your favorite style of draft, because I know there is a lot of debate amongst the community about this.
I love keeper leagues. 2 keepers, keep them in the rounds where you drafted them. That is my favorite, and I love redraft. And I love snake drafts.
Do you auction?
I do auction. I dabble.
Okay. I've never auctioned, but I heard that auctions can be fun.
They can be a lot of fun, but a lot of times I would suggest getting an auctioneer who's not part of the draft themselves. Just helps everything run a little smoother if you can have someone dedicated who's not invested.
All right. Let's get to the nitty-gritty.
Let's do it.
What's your draft strategy?
So I go in with tiered rankings. That is my draft strategy. I have my own tiered rankings. If you go online, you could see them by color. And that way I'm going, you know, running back one. I have a couple running back ones. I have a couple wide receiver ones in that first tier. And when those are all used up, I move down. I don't have a jumbo sheet where it is, you know, like ESPN will put out where quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends are all mixed. I don't do that. I want to know by positional scarcity, and I want to know, you know, the best players at each spot. And I'm going to leave the rest up to myself in the moment.
All right. You brought up positional scarcity. Rank the positions based on, I get on scarcity. Like, how fast are you going to get a wide receiver because it might not be as deep as running back or vice versa?
So I always do running backs first. I hit running back early. I hit running back often. And it's because it's the most important position on the football field. And it's also the one with the most injuries. So I like getting at least one or two of those running backs in the first three rounds. I usually go running back, wide receiver, running back, or running back, wide receiver. I hit that early and often. Wide receiver is very deep. There's a lot of skilled players. And any given week, a wide receiver three, wide receiver four, wide receiver five can put up a wide receiver one numbers. Whereas running backs, once you get past the bell cow backs, very rarely will a running back, a backup running back, a third string running back have one of those bust out weeks. So I go running back, wide receiver, running back, try to grab a top tight end this year because there's a couple, there's five really, really good tight ends, and just keep hitting the well on wide receiver, running back after that.
Where do you fall on quarterbacks? Are you one of the first to draft a quarterback? Are you in the middle or are you one of the last?
I'm one of the very last. I think, especially now in this pass heavy NFL that we have, so many quarterbacks are able to put up quarterback one numbers on any given week. I just don't think you're going to end up with a better team if you can take, you know, an extra running back or a top 15 wide receiver in the same spot you can grab a top quarterback. I like to do that. The exception, of course, would be two quarterback leagues where you kind of got to view what you have there. But even in a two quarterback league, I'm looking at the, you know, 10 to 16 range. And if I could get two of those middling guys, that's what I like.
All right. Do you like stacks?
That's a very interesting question. If I can get them at a discount, I like any strategy. I do like to stack, especially in DFS, where I'll stack not only a quarterback with a wide receiver, I'll stack a quarterback with a wide receiver and an opposing wide receiver. If we think the game's going to be a shootout, you want, you know, your hands on both sides of that offense.
Okay.
So that's a strategy I like. There are some stacks that I'm kind of looking at. I like, you know, pairing Russell Wilson with one of his new wide receivers there. There are some ways to get it done. It's not important to me, but when I do see the opportunity arise, I'm going to see if I can jump on it.
Okay. Do you have any favorite stacks this year, aside from, Russell Wilson and one of his new targets?
That's a great question. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, you're not going to land them, you know, those top stacks.
Like everybody started. I'm looking at that one a lot.
Let me give you one here. I'm going to give you Derek Carr and Hunter Renfrow. I love Derek Carr this year. I think Derek Carr is going to have a career season. And with a new target like Tyreek Hill opening up the outside so much, we saw how safeties had to cheat on Tyreek Hill. You have to give them a 10-yard head start to even catch him. So I think that's going to leave a lot underneath. Hunter Renfrow has just great hands.
Adams.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Davante Adams, not Tyreek Hill. Yes.
Okay. Right. So this was actually, I was going to save this question for last, but you like literally walked right into it. So my buddy Tommy recently drafted, and he wound up with Stephon Diggs and James Conner, and he was offered a trade for Bryce Hall of the Jets and Davante Adams. Now he already has Derek Carr at quarterback, and he already has Hunter Renfrow. What are your thoughts on the deal? So he would receive Davante Adams and Hall from the Jets for Stephon Diggs and James Conner.
So I love Diggs and Conner there, but I think you're getting the better wide receiver. And let me just see where I have them ranked. Connor. Yeah, I guess Connor's better than Hall. That's tough. That's close. You bring up an interesting point that you would have, you know, a quarterback and two wide receivers. And the tough thing about that is both wide receivers can't catch the same touchdown, you know? And that's going to be tough for me. So I'm going to say that I hold on that trade.
You would hold on that? What if you could move Renfro?
I wouldn't want to move Renfro.
Okay.
No, Renfro is one of those guys who's going to be constantly disrespected. You're never, in his whole career, you're not going to get enough value for Renfro for what he's worth. I don't believe.
All right, so this moves to my next question. How many players are too many from one team?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think three is approaching too many. I would never want two wide receivers and a quarterback on the same team. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, great. But when you face a tough offense, you have to be ready to either sub some guys that you really don't want to sub or face some difficult decisions. In the end, in fantasy football, on my best teams, I don't tinker. Like on my best teams, my starters are my starters the whole season. I don't want to have to think it's a tough defense this week. Move this guy out, move that guy there. So I like two. I think three is approaching too many unless it's like a top tier tight end and a running back.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think three is too many for me.
I don't have the stomach for
it. That's one of them's the defense. Like if I have the running back, I wouldn't mind stacking my running back with the defense.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What about, do you have a ride or die player? Like somebody that you are objectively higher on than the rest of the fantasy football world, and you're ready to die on that hill this year?
Yeah, so there's a couple. And the way I do my rankings, I actually have my ranking, the ADP, and then I sort by the difference. So I can shoot out a couple players that I'm much higher on. Justin Fields, I think he could be last season's similar to Jalen Hurts. He doesn't need to be very good in the air to put up great fantasy numbers where he's at. If I go over to some other positions, I mean, I'm always on Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette. So I would look at guys like that. From the wide receiver position, there's a couple guys who really stand out to me. But you said ride or die. I'm going to go Brandon Cooks.
That's our guy this year?
Yeah.
You guys heard it here first?
His whole career. Yeah.
All right. So Brandon Cooks is your guy. Do you like any rookies? Are there any rookies that people should be targeting that you feel may be being undervalued?
Yeah, so I would say any rookie that's in a position to step up and take the work. When evaluating rookies, people put so much into tape, into college tape, but college tape doesn't tell you anything except what that player can do against college defenses. And a lot of times, you know, so I look for, you know, I was on the Justin Jefferson train because I saw there was a huge amount of work to go around. If I have to go, let me see, I'm going to pull up one. Drake London, I really like in Atlanta. Someone's got to catch passes there. They have, you know, Zacchaeus and Bryan Edwards. So I like Drake London, and, you know, Kyle Pitts isn't a rookie, but I like him over there too. And, you know, that's really my 1A number one guy.
All right. That Drake London is somebody that's on my radar. Do we have any stayaways? Doesn't have to be rookies, just guys that, hey, you've burned me. Even the projections might say, hey, this guy's good and a bad experience.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill. That's it for me. The writing's been kind of on the wall for a couple of years for him. His touchdown percentage fell to 4% last year, which is the lowest of his career. His first 2 years in Tennessee were 7.7 and 6.9. So that's a drastic decrease each year in his touchdown percentage. His yards per attempt fell 9.6 to 7.9 to 7.0. All his numbers are going down. Now it's an age thing. It's a figuring things out thing. And it's the fact that his team around him is just not as good. Tannehill was not the guy in Tennessee. It was the running game was so good. He was able to rely on that. I think Tannehill's fool's gold.
Okay. All right. One more before we get to what the listeners wanted to ask. Are you comfortable at all drafting any of these players? And if so, where? Deshaun Watson, Alvin Kamara.
No.
Saquon Barkley?
Yes.
Where?
It's currently Saquon Barkley is in my third tier. I think I have him at running back 11 in my rankings.
And Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's my fourth running back off the board, and that's only because of some injury concerns. With these guys, I mean, CMC had a ridiculous amount of work early in his career. So if you consider the fact that he missed a lot of time with injuries, that's fine. He also gets injured on a smaller percentage of plays than anyone else in the NFL because he touches the ball so much. And with Saquon Barkley, he had a couple of fluke injuries early in his career. Especially, I think the ACL was like on turf at Giant Stadium. And that year, Giant Stadium had brand new turf, and it seemed like everyone got injured during the preseason on that. So I think his injuries were kind of more of a fluky thing than a soft tissue injury reoccurrence. Because of CMC's upside of being the top player by 150 points in fantasy football, he has to be on my draft board, and Saquon Barkley is there too. I just would keep in mind that if you're taking one of those guys in the first round, or you need to mitigate your risk and take less risk later on in the draft. If you're taking a risky running back one, you need to rock solid guys who are guaranteeing you points elsewhere in the draft.
If you take a CMC or a Saquon Barkley, do you automatically try and draft their handcuff?
I'm not sure Barkley has a handcuff, but yeah, I am a huge fan of handcuffing any running backs anywhere you can. If I lose a guy, I don't want to lose my season, and you need to have someone to step up in that role. So if you have a handcuff that is suitable, yeah, I'm taking them.
All right. So these are from the listeners. This is from my boy, Riley McInerney. How often do new contracts or new places affect fantasy players year to year?
So I'm not worried about contracts at all. I think it's a huge myth that people say, oh, he's on a contract year, he's going to try extra hard. The numbers just haven't bared that out. Haven't shown that to be true in the least. New situations, I have to be honest with myself about where it is. It can't be a shiny new toy. You need to look at the player, actually evaluate the situation where they are, and realize that teams don't care about your fantasy squad. They care about winning football games. And if, you know, that's going to affect everything. New contracts, I don't take any account into it. New teams, I have to look at the historical data. Just a face like profootballreference.com. You can see historical trends on targets and touches, because touches is king. Work is king in this game.
All right. Do you change your draft strategy in a two quarterback league? Or a super flex league, not your draft strategy, your rankings. I'm sorry.
My rankings do not change in any of those leagues. My rankings are the same no matter what. I base it around half point PPR because that's my preferred format of play. Obviously, if you're in a super flex, you got to take two quarterbacks much earlier than you would any other time. But my rankings aren't going to change. If quarterbacks get a bonus for touchdowns, every quarterback gets a bonus for touchdowns. If it's tight end premium, it's tight end premium for everyone. So I would, no, I don't think so.
All right. Who outside the top three is on the most championship teams this year? This is from my boy, Mike Becker.
Who's on the most championship teams this year? I like that question a lot. Looking up and down my rankings, I think this is probably easier to answer from a running back perspective, like what running back has the chance to do it. Could be Saquon Barkley. Could be Saquon Barkley for running back. And I'll give you a wide receiver too. Outside the top three, I think Michael Pittman Jr.
Okay. Who is a sleeper wide receiver I can get in the late round?
Depends on your definition of late round, but I'm going to scroll down here and give you a couple. I think Drake London is going to have some workload there. Absolutely. He's one of the only guys in town. Kadarius Toney for Giants. Giants have to throw the ball to someone. Kenny Galladay is going to come back and play a little better, but who's going to be the number one with a young quarterback? Why not Kadarius Toney? He's been slept on his whole career so far. Should have been a higher draft pick than he was. And then people said, oh, he's never going to translate. And he played pretty well last year. So I like what he's doing too.
All right. Is there any, give us one guy that you're targeting at each position. This comes from Rob Norton, by the way.
Love it, my buddy Rob over there. Playing in the Baby Bowl this year, one of his charity leagues for March of Dimes, which is going to be a lot of fun there. Quarterbacks, Derek Carr. Running back. This is tough because I don't really know like where the spot would be. I'll say Aaron Jones.
Okay.
Wide receiver.
You just gave us Kadarius Toney. I think that's a really good answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would go, you know, Hunter Renfrow there too. And tight end, I think Dalton Schultz is, you know, my sixth tight end, but he has, you know, a real opportunity to move higher up the draft board. I could see him entering the top tier very soon with some good work.
For those unfamiliar, where does Dalton Schultz play?
He's Dallas.
He's in Dallas. Okay. All right. Last thing. What advice would you give to first-time fantasy players?
First thing is, you know, have fun with it. You know, you're putting money on the line and this is gambling and it's something to be taken seriously by people like me, but you can go online and take my cheat sheet and I take this cheat sheet into drafts with me. So, you know, if I'm that confident with myself, you can be confident with my cheat sheet too. Have fun. If you're up between a couple guys, pick the guy on the team you want to root for, you know, pick the guy who you're going to watch on the most prime time games. This is all about having fun, about building community here. And you know, it shouldn't be taken too seriously. I never want to draft a guy who I'm going to have to root against. So, you know, in the end, it's about putting a smile on your face and what you can stomach on a Sunday.
Guys, that was Bob from I-80 Sports. Bob, that was awesome. You have no idea how much I appreciate this. I hope my listeners really enjoy your insight. Do you have anything you want to plug? I-80 Sports, the podcast, it's a website.
You can go to idsports.com. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We're on all major platforms. You can go to youtube.com/i80sports and subscribe there. All season long, we're going to be doing, you know, a weekly recap show, and we do a prediction show, and then we do a Sunday morning live stream where we just kind of take questions, just kind of hang out, get ready, do that last minute draft tinkering, find out who's injured and where the weather's bad, and just kind of, you know, talk football. And it's, you know, a really exciting time. It's a really exciting time to be involved with I-80 Sports. You know, I want to thank you for having me as a guest, and hopefully, you know, anytime you need anyone or you want to talk, you shoot me a message, or, you know, I'll come on the show. And, you know, thanks again for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the big homie Bob. You can find him at I-80 Sports. So at I-80_sports on Twitter, and they're killing it over there. So definitely go look out for his work. This has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. And like that, we out.